Hello, and welcome to True Tales from Harrods podcast, our sustainability spin-off. Now, for our regular listeners, you're probably wondering whose voice this is. I'm Rebecca Morgan, the Corporate Responsibility Manager here at Harrods. I've been here for 10 amazing months, and I'm very excited to be hosting today. We have a very special guest who joined Harrods over 25 years ago as a graduate trainee. He's been making some great strides in the business, and all in all, he's a fantastic sustainability champion. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Rebecca. Great to be here and great to have the opportunity to talk a bit more about what we're doing in the sustainability space in supply chain.
Brilliant. Before we get into all of that, just a bit about yourself, really, sort of how you ended up in your current role at Harrods. Did you always see yourself in this kind of role growing up?
So ending up at Harrods, I think, was never planned. I was at university in London and came to the end of my course, which was cognitive science. And really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I had some friends that had worked at Harrods during sort of summer holidays, Christmas holidays. So wanting to stay in London, not really sure about what I wanted to do going forward, I came and joined in Christmas 1995 as a Christmas temp in the Harrods shop department, which was in the basement then and is now back in the basement again. really enjoyed it. Met some fantastic people, learned about the graduate scheme. And then so I applied for the graduate scheme, which was called the exec scheme in those days, and then started the exec scheme at the next intake. And I guess, to be honest, probably for the next 10 years, every year I thought, I'll get a proper job next year, I'll get a career, not sure what I want to do. And then I think a combination of the people, the opportunities, the how the business was, I just stayed. Mm. And I guess 25 years later, I spend less time thinking I'll get a proper job next year. And really grateful for the opportunities I've had and the people I've met. So, but it was never planned. You know, I never had a dream about being a, you know, fireman or a dentist or anything. It just sort of evolved, I suppose.
And sort of in your time in the graduate scheme and working around the business, what was it sort of about the supply chain area that interests you?
So, I mean, it's interesting because I the graduate scheme was very retail focused. But as part of that scheme, and it's what we do today as well, I had the opportunity to work in a number of different departments, one of which was our distribution centre, which was out in Austerley back then. And I really enjoyed it. You know, I really, really enjoyed getting stuck I enjoyed the physicality of it, I think, and the stock and the movements and the logistics. I was a bit bigger in those days as well. I was quite large in those days. And when I completed the graduate scheme and went to be a retail assistant manager in International Crystal, the manager, who was a very, was quite a young, petite lady, sort of saw me come into the department. I played a lot of rugby and I propped. And I think it scared the life out of her, to be honest, because all of this high-value crystal and this enormous man. So I actually only lasted one day in that department because on my first morning, I managed to knock a Lalique elephant off the shelf, which broke and was quite valuable. And later that afternoon, the then distribution director came in, who I'd worked for, and said, "Hey, Simon, how are you going? How's your first day?" I said, "It's not great." And he offered me a job in distribution. So much to the relief of the department manager, I moved back. And then have been in distribution in different roles, in different areas, sort of throughout my career to date.
Fantastic. And over those years, sort of, what are the big changes that you've seen in sort of supply chain distribution?
I mean, there's been phenomenal change. I think, you know, go back to the sort of the late 90s, whilst we were on the importance of supply chain, the importance of understanding and having visibility of where stock was and where stock was coming from and the sort of digitalization of it was still growing. I mean, back then, you know, back then we had a typing pool. You know, if I wanted to send a letter to somebody, it went to a typing pool, was typed and came back again. There was no internet. There was no Google. There was no Apple. Well, I mean, Apple existed, but not in the way that we know it today. So there's been a phenomenal change over the last 20, 25 years. And there will be phenomenal change still to come. And we're seeing that today. And I think being part of that journey, you know, we had a mail order catalogue when I did one of my roles. Wow. As fulfillment manager, and we sent catalogues out 4 times a year and didn't do very much in between. We had no online business. You know, if I told my children that there was no internet,
yeah,
back then, I think they'd struggle to comprehend it.
How do we find things out without Google?
Yeah, I mean, what did we do? You know, but we survived, didn't we? And perhaps, you know, some bits that we've lost. But yeah, huge change. And I think part of the exciting thing about being at Harrods is that we've always been at the forefront of that change, you know, partly because of our philosophy, I think, but partly because our customers demand that. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're not, then we're not keeping up and we'll lose those customers. And I think that's true of sustainability now. You know, I don't know why I'm saying this to you, but if, you know, it's what our customers expect. And if we're not delivering on that, then we're not meeting their expectations and we will lose them. And I think over the last couple of years, working with yourself, Rebecca, and working with the team, you know, I'm really proud of what we've achieved, but you know, there's still a lot to do, isn't there?
There is a huge amount to do. I mean, I was just going to say, sort of looking forward to the next 6 to 12 months, obviously from my point of view, sustainability is a huge focus in your area. But are there any other developments that sort of in the next 6 to 12 months you see as big priority area?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, from a sustainability perspective, I think, you know, we had, you know, I'm very proud of what we achieved in 2021, you know, again, working, you know, closely with all of the teams across the business. And I think in logistics, it's really, and maybe this is because I'm just quite a simple being really, is it's very easy to set a goal, a time, and then just get everyone connected to that. So, you know, as you know, first half of last year, we said, right, we're going to get rid of plastic from outbound packaging.
Yeah.
Simple goal. Everyone, I say a simple goal.
Just gonna say.
Everyone knew what it was. Yeah. We all knew what we made up a date. You know, we made up a date. There wasn't a lot of logic behind that date, but we said by the end of the first half, no more plastic. And we achieved that. And we achieved it, as you know, a bit early and got everyone behind that. And then we said in the second half, right, we're going to get rid of, for our Knightsbridge fleet, you know, we're going to get rid of diesel and it will be electric. And again, you know, by the end of January of this year, so the end of the financial second half, again, we'd achieved it. So brilliant. And so then looking to this year and saying, okay, well, you know, we've set the bar quite high now. What are we going to do? And again, we've taken that same approach. You know, first half of this year, we'll get rid of internal plastic in movement. So the shrink wrap, the plastic labels that people see on tote boxes and cages, the rail bags, the plastic clips. And again, it's a simple goal. It's a simple timeline by the end of the first half of the year. And, you know, we're well on our way to achieving that. And I'm confident that we will. And again, in the second half of this year on the sustainability side, the getting rid of diesel from all of our fleet. So that's our big ticket furniture delivery fleet. That's our 18-ton lorries that move merchandise up from Thatcham to Knightsbridge. And again, I think by having those simple goals, getting everyone aligned to that goal, setting a definitive timeline, it works. And so very excited about that. Looking further ahead, though, there's a lot more, I guess, more exciting things to do. And that really ties in with how we are approaching supply chain as an organization going forward. And there is no more critical time globally, I think, to do that. We have had the most disruptions in supply chain over the last 18 months to 2 years with Brexit, with COVID, and with the realization that we are reliant on so many partners and there are so many links in that chain, and that any one of those links, when it breaks, has an impact on our business, and we need to be able to have better visibility of that. We need to have better plans to be able to mitigate that. Mm-hmm. And that's really the focus, and that's really exciting, because whilst we're doing that from a perspective of protecting the business, of ensuring we've got the right stock in the right place at the right time, at the right cost, actually there's a massive sustainability agenda that leads us into. So moving things less is more sustainable. You know, near sourcing, some of the work that the online team are doing in terms of brand partnerships. You know, if 2 years ago, if you were buying, a Burberry coat internationally, then that would be going from London, from the shop floor. Now that may be going from a Burberry warehouse in the same country, you know, and so there's massive opportunities there to both deliver on the supply chain goals of efficiency, optimization, deliver on the customer goals of speed of service. But at the same time, they're all delivering on the sustainability goals. And it's that kind of that double win, if you like, where we're not doing this from a sustainability perspective alone. Sustainability is driving it and sustainability benefits come out of it. But actually, we're doing it to be better, to serve our customers better, to reduce costs, to be more efficient. And I think the alignment of those goals is what really excites me. And what will power that for us is the partners that we work with, is the technology and the tools that are now available that weren't available.
Yeah.
You know, as I say, when I joined in 1995, you know, we had a typing pool. I mean, you couldn't imagine that today, really.
Definitely. And I just want to quickly just loop back to a couple of things you said there, that, you know, simple goals, simple targets, absolutely very, very clear. But of course, it isn't simple sort of to implement that, is it? And it has been seamless in your execution of, say, outbound plastic. You guys are doing amazing things. Like you say, you're having to trial different methods of plastic alternatives with pallet wraps and cargo nets, things like that. And there's an awful lot of work that goes into that. So people here in Knightsbridge trialing that up and out, up and down Trafford Square, up those ramps. There's a lot of people involved in that. How do you keep that motivation alive in the team to achieve both the sustainability objectives, but obviously looking to the bigger objectives within your team that you have as well?
I mean, it's a good question. It sometimes the execution can appear seamless, and that's obviously what we hope it does. But as you know, Rebecca, you're closer to it than many. You know, there is a lot of work that goes on with your teams, with my teams, with the procurement teams, with the IT teams, the retail teams. So it is hard work, and I think what I'm very motivated by and what I'm very, very proud of actually is that as a business, we've taken a really strong position on this. Mm-hmm. You know, Michael has really led from the top on this.
Yeah.
And Michael's an accountant by background, isn't he? And you don't necessarily credit an accountant by background with having that vision and really putting it at the front. So I think him having done that, and investing in, you know, the likes of yourselves coming into the business, I think really sets that tone. But it also really comes from the bottom up as well. I bore my team sometimes telling this story, but I've got two young daughters. One's four and one's seven. And my four-year-old, who's just about managing to wipe her own bottom now, she's in reception at school. But if I'm wiping her bottom as I used to do regularly, and I'm using too much loo paper, she tells me off.
Brilliant.
She says, "Daddy, that's wasteful." You know, and she's four.
Yeah.
Now she is already a Harrods customer, but she will, you know, potentially be a Harrods customer as she grows up. And if at four she's telling me off for using too many sheets of loo paper, then, you know, and these are our customers. And I think Michael obviously, you know, recognised that early and said, you know, they may not be demanding it today, or not all of them are demanding it today, but they will be demanding it. And if we're not ahead of this, if we're not investing in this, and I suppose, as going back to my point, the other thing is it doesn't cost more. It sometimes costs more, and it sometimes drives a lot of work, but it doesn't necessarily cost more. And going back to your question, so that motivation often is coming up.
Yeah.
You know, our teams are saying, why have we still got, you know, plastic cups, you know, and now again, we've got rid of those now, which is brilliant. Or what, you know, they're asking us, they're challenging us, you know, because they see, and there are leaders out there who are very vocal about the changes that they're making and what they're doing. And I think, it's an expectation, you know, both from our customers, but also from our teams. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps keep that motivation going. But it is tough, you know, as you know, plastic shrink wrap.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't a alternative available on the market. There's lots of things coming. There's lots of investment. There's lots of experimentation, but it's not there yet. And as soon as it's there, it will be easier to adopt.
Yeah.
And costs will come down. Availability will go up. I was walking the Knightsbridge warehousing with Mittal on Monday and looking at some of the stock in the bins. And actually, I picked up, there's a brand, Skims, a new brand. You're probably aware of it. And actually, every single item that they have is packaged in a non-plastic packaging. And there is a statement on there that says that. Now, if those guys can do that, and it's, you know, it's a relatively low price point by Harrods standards, then why can't some of those other big brands that are sending packaging in do that? And I know there's a huge amount of work that Michael, that yourself, that all the teams are doing in terms of inbound plastics. But we've got to do it together.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the more we do that and the more critical mass we get, the more people are out there doing the right thing, then the more products will become available and the cheaper it will become. And that will allow us to replace plastic on, you know, outer bags or shrink wrap, I think, much more quickly.
Yeah. Thank you. No, it's a great point, actually, about your daughter as well. I don't have any children. I've got couple of nieces, a couple of nephews. But yeah, the same thing. I babysat them a couple of weeks ago, asked what they would like for their tea. And the six twins had said, Auntie Becca, we've had a lot of meat this week. So I think we'll have, I think they still wanted pizza. So it was unhealthy, but you know, but we won't have meat on our pizza tonight.
Brilliant.
So, you know, and even that message, you know, at 6 years old, is coming through really loud and clear. So you're absolutely right. I think it's about the future generation. It's about being a future-proof in the business. And then with that comes sort of the protection of the environment quite naturally.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what sort of, you did touch on some of the points there. I was going to ask you sort of what do you find most challenging about sort of pursuing a sustainability agenda? I mean, we are doing a lot of work on looking at alternative materials, alternative packaging, different methods of transportation. And you guys have done amazing work on alternative fuels. Is there something you can see that's coming up apart from sort of actual materials that's really, really challenging? Or is it that material problem?
I think the challenge is that it is, it is ever evolving.
Mm.
You know, one of my team, Sarah Barclay, that you know, who's our governance and sustainability manager, you know, she was presenting on a Gartner forum. Gartner had asked us to do it. We worked closely with them on sustainability and was talking about some of the replacement of plastic with paper.
Mm-hmm.
And she was challenged on it, understandably, because actually, well, you know, how do we know how sustainable that paper is? And I think that's the challenge about sustainability is it is not, you know,
It's
not black and white. I did a lot of mountain climbing in my youth, in the Himalayas and around the world. And it was really easy because there was a summit.
Yeah.
And once you got there, Yes, you had to get back down safely. And there's often more accidents on the way back down. But sustainability, there isn't an end.
Yeah.
There isn't an end because, you know, I've recently driven an electric car now.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I had a hybrid, which got stolen, sadly. But it gave me the opportunity to get a new car and I've got an electric car. And I'm fiercely proud of that. But we know that the tyres are a cause of lots of emissions. So and that's just an example of that. And I think that's the challenge of sustainability. We can't lose the will to continue because it is sustainability is not a goal, really, in some respects. It's a way of operating and it's a philosophy of life. And it will continue and we'll get better and better and better. And I think keeping the teams motivated and dealing with the distractors sometimes, I think, is a challenge. I think what's good, I mentioned Sarah Barclay, who's our governance and sustainability manager, but she's not responsible for sustainability within supply chain. You know, it's a shared responsibility across everyone. But her role, and the reason I introduced that role, was lots of great ideas coming up lots of strategy coming down, and we needed to make sure that we had a way of understanding what we can do and what timelines we can do it, and then checking our progress against that. And Sarah does really well as getting out there and seeing what other people are doing, making those contacts in the sort of wider industry. So I think sustainability will be a challenge for us and others for the foreseeable future. But the good news is that every time we take that next step, it's just building on what we've achieved. And I think my view and what I say to the teams is, you know, we don't focus on what we haven't done yet. We don't focus on what's still wrong. We just focus on what we've achieved. You know, when we look at that, and that gives us the sort of the confidence, but also the satisfaction to then go to the next bit.
That's a great motivator, though, isn't it? You've done some fantastic things, like you said at the very beginning, with the fleet, with plastic, the work that you're starting to do, and some clear goals for this.
I think it is, and I'm really excited about the fleet. You know, as you know, because you know, working closely with you and your team, the hydrated vegetable oil, you know, removes something like, you know, 95% of the emissions. And our vehicles that are going up and down the A4 past my house in Chiswick, not that this is the reason for it, but past my house in Chiswick, are emitting, you know, and much better than they were 10 years ago. You know, the Euro 6 diesel engines are much, much cleaner. So everything is getting better. But before the end of the year, they won't be in the same way. And that's really, really exciting. I think we've still got more to do, I guess, in sharing that. I think we're really good at sharing it at a business level. But I think one of the things Sarah's working on is at a very local level, you know, just sort of posters in departments that say we've done this, so that some of those operatives that aren't necessarily as engaged in terms of the internal communications or aren't part of the more senior sort of strategic stuff actually can be proud about what's been done, you know, how much have we done. And I think that's really exciting. The other kind of exciting but also challenging thing is when we get into second tier and third tier, and as you know, and I think one of the other things on our agenda for this year, as well as those two really clear goals for first half and second half, are working with our carriers. And I think we're quite fortunate here in that DPD, as our UK carrier, is really sort of leading the way in the UK on nationwide green delivery. I was out with them recently, and they were sharing their plans in terms of the purchasing they're doing of electric vehicles and the electrification of their fleet. You know, I was in one depot in Southall with their CRM director, and in that depot, they do something like 20,000 deliveries a day.
Oh, wow.
In that depot, non-peak, goes up to about 50,000 in peak. And at the moment, they are only being limited in terms of the electrification of their fleet by the availability of vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I suppose going back to thinking about some of the supply chain disruptions we're seeing and some of the lockdowns, you know, there is a challenge there. That actually now we've passed that tipping point in terms of small electric vehicles, sort of 3-ton, 5-ton vehicles, where actually now there is more demand than there is capacity to produce. Go back 3 years, there were lots of people trying to sell them and there wasn't necessarily the interest. It's completely flipped now. And that will bring more production online, that will bring more new entrants, that will bring more innovation, more investment in technology to get those electric vehicles better. So now it's a supply issue in terms of electric vehicles. 2-3 years ago, it was a demand issue. So really encouraging. And you know, we'll want to start sharing with the business how many of our Harrods deliveries on DPD are on electric. 100% of the Harrods deliveries out of Knightsbridge are on electric now, which we're very proud of. But and you know, and I'm saying to DPD, right, guys, you need to catch us up. Now, there is a slight difference in volumes there, but they take the point. So lots of challenges ahead, but very rewarding. And I only think it's going to get better as more businesses come into supporting and providing more sustainable solutions for business and for customers.
Brilliant. Thank you. I think, you've talked obviously a lot about the team and how much goes into sort of, as you say, those sort of very simple targets and simple outcomes. And I think what the team is doing is absolutely incredible. So it's great to share through this podcast sort of all of the hard work, you know, that every single person out in Thatcham, down in the sort of different levels under the store.
The depths of Knightsbridge under
yes,
the store. Yeah.
Exactly. And you see them on their sort of, their runs backwards and forwards, and nothing could happen without all of those people. So I think it's incredible to share the success, the plans, and the hard work of everybody in the team. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and to your point, it really is everybody in the team. You know, it really is bottom up on lots and lots of these things.
Definitely,
which is good.
Definitely. So just wanted to talk about a bit about you as well. Yeah. Sort of what sort of makes you smile in the morning? What sort of motivates you? Is it just your cup of coffee, or what sort
There's
of brings
of
a
coffee.
Smile?
I mean, most people in the supply chain, I mean, we are 24/7 across the board, but a lot of us start very early, and coffee definitely plays an important role in that. I think, you know, when I think about Harrods and when I think about what motivates me and makes me smile, and I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it is about the people. You know, I learn from the teams every day. You know, people aren't afraid to challenge me and challenge my thinking, and I like that, and it keeps me on my toes as well. Seeing the team develop, and again, is really big. You know, we started a graduate program 10 years ago in supply chain, and we've had apart from 1 year when we were in the midst of COVID, where we didn't take on a new grad, and seeing those people come in and progress alongside those other starters. You know, I started, as I said, as a temp, a Christmas temp. And I think it makes it very easy for me to say to people, well, you know, when you join Harrods, there's opportunity, and that might not be in the same area that you work today. That might, and I'm very proud of those grads and those team members that we've got that have gone on to work in other areas of the business, in retail, in buying, in merchandising, et cetera. So I think the people I work with on a daily basis, I think helping them develop and being part of their journey, and also, you know, them contributing to my development and my thinking. And certainly when we talk about sustainability, you know, I almost feel like I'm going back to reception at school, because there is so much to learn. And it's not simple. It's complicated. There's lots of jargon. It's never ending. It's never ending. It does feel like we're sort of learning from scratch. So I think that's, for me, is it really. I do like moving stuff around. I think logistics is something that, whether it's, you know, it was my wife's 40th birthday 2 weekends ago, and so I had to do lots of planning and arranging for that, and it kind of felt like it was busier than my day job almost, making those. So I've always enjoyed logistics. I've always enjoyed that and felt rewarded by doing something in that space.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, no, it's the people and the business. You know, I'm very proud to work for Harrods. I think Harrods gives us great opportunities. You know, I can pretty much pick up the phone and talk to anyone because I work for Harrods. People want to work with us, and that gets us the opportunity to see new technology, new innovation, talk to partners, and that's part of it. And the customers, of course, you know, the diverse global business that we are, again, is very exciting. So I think the people, and I think the business, and this sort of natural, you know, I like moving boxes around at the end of the day. I do enjoy that.
Amazing, amazing. And you touched upon your family quite a bit there. What keeps you sort of busy outside of work? Are you planning to go back to any mountain climbing soon?
No, so I think when I got married, I had to hang up my climbing boots. Sadly, it's quite a selfish sport, and there's quite a lot of risk as well. And so... No, but I think, you know, family is really important to me, and you know, my children are 4 and 7, they keep me pretty busy, and just doing things. I'm quite into fitness, and have been now for a number of years. So I try to run. You know, I've run a few marathons and so enjoy that side of it as well. And I think it's a great sort of release from work, which can be difficult, can be stressful, can be tough. it takes me the same amount of time to run home from Knightsbridge to Chiswick as it does to get the tube.
Yeah.
But when you run home and you get home, you're de-stressed, you're sort of, you've processed everything that happened during the day in your head, or you've listened to a podcast. And so, you know, it's finding ways with a busy family life and a busy work life of still getting things like running in. And so I haven't been in a gym for probably 10 years, but one day perhaps I'll go back.
Oh, well, running's great. It's really good for you. Like you say, really processes, and it's sustainable as well.
It is, yeah. And
instead
actually, I sometimes see our drivers as well. So I sometimes get the odd toot from one of our lorries as they go past me on the A4 as I'm running home, which is I think gives them more fun than it probably gives me when
like
I think I'm
shock.
Just going to get knocked over or something.
But, brilliant. Yeah. And you were saying sort of about sort of sustainability in your lifestyle and being led by your children. Is there anything that you do at home or you plan to do more of?
I think, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if we're all completely honest, there's probably lots of unsustainable practices that we all still have. I mean, I mentioned the car, it's still early days. So so how that works out with an electric car, living in a terrace house without a driveway with my own charge point. So we'll see how that pans out. But I mean, if I think back to sort of 5-10 years ago, my wife, we would have, you know, bottled water in our fridge at home, plastic bottled water. And when I put the recycling bins out, the plastics one would be bigger than the others. Now that's very, very different. It's not. So there's things that we've done. My wife is, I'm obsessed with expiry date on food. So if anything is approaching its expiry date, I think, oh no, you can't have that. My wife, on the other hand, thinks 5 days after is still fine if it doesn't smell. So I think there's a battle in the Finch household over things like that. But yeah. I think the awareness and moving towards that, you know, great story about meat and the pizza, because I think, you know, at my girl's school, they have a one day a week is vegetarian day, and that didn't exist 3-4 years ago. And I'm sure in a few years' time, it won't be one, it might be one day a week is meat day, and the rest are. So I think we're probably good in terms of personal life, but we're probably not the best, and there's more that we can do, I think.
Oh, I think that all sounds amazing. It just, you know, the electric car. But you said that it's the awareness. I think that's what's changed.
Yeah.
I think that's a big step change for everybody. I think my friend who I've lived with for too long, actually, when we first started to live together, silly thing, she would run the tap when she brushed her teeth.
Oh, wow.
And I'd have to say, obviously, please turn it off. It's my water. I pay for it. I'll do what I want. And now she's very, very forward-thinking. She doesn't run the tap anymore. No, she does it. Sometimes if I'll forget to rinse out a tin or something, if I'm putting it in recycling, she brings it back in, tells me I need to. Sorry, forgot about that. So I think it's the awareness of what we can do. And then obviously as a business, we're doing what we can. We're striving to be the best, most responsible, sustainable version of ourselves.
Yeah.
And that combined with what people do at home, I think it gives us a really good vision for the future, a lot of hope. I think when you hear things,
I absolutely agree. I think we should all be collectively proud of what we've achieved, and not. It's not about the end game. It's about the journey, isn't it? And I think that the way that we describe it as a path is really, really right, because you know, it's celebrating every step. You know, whether that's, you know, your flatmate not running the water, because I used to run the water, because
it's just something you did
without thinking.
Yeah.
Now I wouldn't dare to do that. No, certainly if my children were in the room or my wife was in the room. But it is, it's a journey, and we all play an important role in that journey. And I think what I'm very proud of at Harrods is that we do, you know, it's right from the top down and it's right from the bottom up. And I think that's what's driven those successes that we've had so far, and that's what will drive those successes as we go forward.
Yeah, completely. Thank you, Simon. Thank you so much for today. It's been really interesting talking to you, understanding your motivation, challenges, both personally and in the business as well. And to thank you for being on the podcast, but to thank you for the work that you and your team are doing in moving us really a lot closer to sort of our sustainable vision that we have for Harrods. So thank you very much.
Brilliant. I've really enjoyed it, Rebecca. And great to meet you finally in person.
After all of the
Teams meetings that we've had. But no, great to, and you know, and if there's, you know, challenge us as well, you know, where you think we're not moving fast enough or where you think there's more to do, we want to do it. And as I said, you know, it is shared collectively across all the teams. So yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you. That brings us to the end of our second episode. A huge thank you to Simon for sharing so much insight into how sustainability is being brought to life in our supply chain area. I found it so useful and I can't wait to learn more. Please do subscribe if you would like to receive more episodes as soon as they become available. Thank you so much for listening. My team and I will be back next month with a new guest and more updates on sustainability. Have a great month from me, Rebecca.